Today we continue our Beatitudes by looking at mercy. And I have a definition of mercy that will pop up in a moment. The scripture is, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy." I bet by now half of us could probably quote this passage after the weeks we've had here. I will, however, if you'll indulge me, I'll read it. Beginning with verse 3, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you or persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. What is the definition of mercy? Well, mercy is love in action. And I want to add to that a bit, because I think that's a little inadequate. Mercy is what is offered to you or to me when we in fact deserve something else. Mercy is when we receive from someone an act of kindness instead of maybe what we had coming. Does that make sense? This past week I was in a drive-through here in town. That tells you one of two places, right? I'm not going to advertise for the Big M. But I went inside to get lunch, and I thought, man, this place is packed. So I'm just going to not come in. I'm going to go through the drive-thru. When I finally got out of my car, I could hardly back out. The drive-thru was all the way around the building into the street. I will not make that mistake again. I remember my first or second Sunday in Kitty Hawk when I first moved out here. I looked around and saw all the traffic, and I said to one of our church leaders, "Where do these people come from?" I made the mistake of trying to make a visit to the hospital during the changeover. I could have walked from Southern Shores easier. But anyway, I backed out. Somebody let me out, showed me mercy. I backed out, and I was pulled up, and some guy in a big, probably 2-ton truck, I'm guessing that size, starts backing into me and is about to tag me. And I laid on the horn, and I couldn't go anywhere. I mean, there's somebody on my bumper, and there's somebody right in front of me. I'm stuck. And anyway, he pulled out and swung around somehow and got to the end of the parking lot, opened his door, stood on the step, and gave me the international symbol of disrespect. I was merciful, because everything within me wanted to get out of the car and walk over and suggest to him that that was probably not the most polite thing in the world to do. Mercy. I don't know if you heard this, but there was a guy who, have any of you had your picture made in a church directory before? Right, okay. There was this guy who had his picture made, and as the pictures came out, he turned to his wife and said, "Honey, this picture does not do me justice." And she said, "You don't need justice, you need mercy." Any of you ever said, "This picture doesn't do me justice"? Well, having said all that, if you will, what we're talking about today are the marks of mercy. Mercy is a quality that is offered as a Christian response to those things which come in our pathway that, in fact, another reaction might in fact be even appropriate, but we don't do that. We act as children of God. The marks of mercy. If I'm a merciful person, if you will, I'll be patient with those I find peculiar or odd. And I want to thank you after 10 months of your patience with me. I could certainly fall into that category, I know. 1 Thessalonians says it this way, "Dear brothers, warn those who are lazy, comfort those who are frightened, take tender care of those who are weak, and be patient with everyone." Romans says, accept one another, then just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. You know, as our community is reeling from the events of yesterday afternoon, one of the things that I am aware of is that, just an opinion here, and I often don't get it right, but here's an opinion. Wouldn't it be fantastic if in a non-crisis we could deal with one another with the same amount of love that we hold in reserve until there is a crisis? You know, we lay aside things that aren't real important and we rally to those who are hurting. That's my example. That's my definition of love and mercy. Be patient with those I find different than me, or odd, if you will. In fact, you and I may be the odd one. And it's important for us to understand that. I think it's important, as we exercise Christian patience, to recognize that as a virtue of being children of God who are controlled by the Spirit of God, that patience is in fact a fruit of the Spirit. And as we live our lives in such a way that we bring them before God in a daily way, and we are yielded to God, we can experience that gift from God of patience. I had a coffee cup one time that defined patience. Have any of you seen the coffee cup that defines patience? Patience is, according to this coffee cup, was the ability to take a step back when everything within you, this is my paraphrase, when everything within you, you've seen the cup, you're smiling, when everything within you wants to retaliate. Patience. I had a gentleman in one of my churches, came very close to him. I did his funeral later. He was, I'm guessing, 8 to 10 years older than me. I've never met anyone more talented than this guy in so many areas. He repaired televisions for a living. I had this monster television, must have weighed 300 pounds. It was a great big thing before flat screens came out. And we had to haul it up and down stairs. And it had a boo-boo. It wouldn't work. And I tried to, everything I knew, which wasn't much. I got a couple bruisers, and we got this television down out of this, we call it a bonus room. Some people call them frogs. Got it to his shop. He didn't have to even look at it and know what was wrong with it. I mean, he just knew. And he opened it up, looked at it, said, yeah, let me do this. And he said, I don't have this part. Don't have this part in stock. He said, oh, I've got a TV over here that's not working. Let me go get one. He goes in there, unsolders it over here, solders it in over here, plugs it in, it works fine. He asked me one day before he joined our church, he said, preacher, I've got to ask you a question. This is very important to me. What do you say if you hit your thumb with a hammer? As a pastor, what do you say? And I told him. And he smiled real big. He said, you're human, aren't you? I said, I've learned not to use hammers. Well, at his funeral, with his bride and his family sitting there, I pulled out the hammer and smacked myself on the thumb and said, John, this is in honor of you. He taught me a lot about patience. It was incredible to watch this guy. We all have those people in our lives that we have learned. And sometimes patience is a learned behavior, or lack of patience is a learned behavior. How many of us have ever taken our children by the hand and pulled them through the house to get in a hurry to go get in the car and get somewhere? All of us who've had kids have done that, right? Sometimes we teach children not to be patient. One of the things I did that I really regret is I used language with our daughter when she was very small that she took very literally. And I said, sweetheart, would you run get me something? And she'd take off running. If I were to say that today, she would take off running at 29 years old before she realized she didn't have to run. You teach, sometimes patience or lack thereof is taught behavior. Well, marks of mercy are patience. And secondly, would be forgiveness, those who have fallen. Colossians says, be gentle and ready to forgive. Never hold grudges. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so we must forgive also. Forgiveness is a part of mercy. As you know, we can't just express mercy. Mercy is, in many ways, is what comes out, and the root behind that often is forgiveness. Now, why do we forgive others? We say it in the Lord's Prayer. We forgive others because we have been forgiven and because we are going to need forgiveness. All of us in here, you know, I've joked before, but it's almost not a joke. I've said before, I finish every sentence with, I'm so sorry. But I think there's a sense in which forgiveness is a requirement for those who are Christian. In fact, when Paul writes about this in Colossians, he doesn't write it, he doesn't use a language that offers it as an option. He offers it as language as a command. Forgive. He doesn't say, if you feel like it. He doesn't say, when you're ready to forgive. He says, forgive. I'll forgive those who have fallen. I made a statement one time, and I think it's so true that often, it's not always true, and I haven't seen it to be true here, but so often Christians bury their wounded as opposed to nurturing the wounded. Forgiveness. Well, point C says, I'll help those who are hurting. Proverbs says, whenever you possibly can, do good to those who need it. I wonder sometimes when I read the story of the Good Samaritan, probably one of the most common stories that is taught to us and we've learned and heard over the years, I just wonder sometimes about that wounded person when the other two that pass by really don't even notice. They certainly don't offer any help. I wonder what was going on through their minds as they saw this person who was wounded. Well, I would suppose that what they saw was a scene that perhaps didn't look very seemly. Perhaps it didn't fit their culture. Perhaps they were in a hurry. Boy, being in a hurry is a lifelong trial for me. I am so addicted to being in a hurry. How many of you have ever done this? You know you're leaving at 7 o'clock to go somewhere, and at 5 or 10 minutes before 7, you take on another task that's only going to take 5 minutes. Any of us do that other than me? And so at that point, then you can rush out the door to be in a hurry, and often it's because we're addicted to the adrenaline buzz that we get from being in a hurry. We set it up so that we can hurry. I'm not really good in traffic sometimes. I think people are in my way as opposed to being in their way. I saw this thing on TV recently about four or five things that people on the highway agree drives them nuts. And I saw number three was directed right at me. I was coming back from... Gib, you'll get a kick out of this. I was coming back from Florida on 95 Highway, and I was in the middle of the left-hand lane, somewhere around Santee area. And I had had cars tailgate me. I'm running the speed limit plus, trying to not hold anybody up, and people were just flying. And I finally said, I am not moving. That's number three on the list of things that annoy people who are driving. And Nicole said, you better move. Somebody's going to shoot at you. And that cars would come up behind me and then go around me. And finally, I said, honey, I'm just tired of pulling over. She said, you better move over. And I refused. I was hard-headed. I said, I'm not going to do it. And this car comes up on my bumper. Gib, it's like 4 inches from me. Okay? And all of a sudden, the blue lights and red lights come on. I said, whoop, let me move over. And thank goodness he didn't haul me in. He took off and was, I guess, after somebody. My comment, with all due respect, was he's probably going to get a cup of coffee, but I'm not going to say that out loud. I'll help those that are hurting. The Good Samaritan, the person that notices and has the wherewithal and the means to help, is the model for our behavior to those who are needing help. Helping others when they need it. And the difference in helping others often and hurting is permission. D, here's a tough one for us, for all of us. I'll do good to my enemies. I'll do good to my enemies. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is it to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies and do good to them. I was going around the Beltline in Raleigh one day in a particular hurry. Like, you know, I find myself addicted to the hurry. And it was so fun. I had these guys in a lowrider come by me. And they had that high-frequency muffler thing going and the racing little wheels, you know I'm talking about, the real tiny tread stuff. And they were trying to do everything they could to intimidate me. And as they got beside me, I nudged my knee up under the wheel to steer with my wheel, which I don't recommend. I turned and went. And everybody in that car just busted out laughing. And it defused the whole situation. The guy was, he up until then, was guilty of, I would tell you, he was guilty of road rage, the way he was behaving. Now, having said that, we do good to those who do us harm. You do not overcome bad behavior by escalating the behavior. It doesn't work. It simply makes things worse. And escalating the behavior creates much more hostility. Is that a fair and true statement? Have any of you ever won a battle by escalating the behavior without it getting really ugly? No, we don't do that. Do good. Always do good. Well, the motive for mercy, if I might. First of all, Matthew says, unless you turn to God from your sins and become his little children, you'll never inherit the kingdom of heaven. Well, the motive for mercy is because God shows us mercy. Is that a true statement? Fair statement? How many of us deserve mercy? Mercy is not something that you can say you deserve, except for Charlie. We'll erase that. Let me get the cleaner off the board. Mercy is that part that comes to us that at some level, to be very frank about it, is even counterintuitive. We often think, at least I do, when something bad happens to us, we think, what did I do to deserve that? I would offer that when something happens on the positive side, if you will, of our journey, we might offer the same statement. What did we do to deserve that? And the answer is nothing. Grace is grace and mercy is mercy. God's mercy is such an incredible thing that it doesn't make sense to us. It really does not. Because it's not about you and it's not about me. It's about God and his character. That's really what it's about. Mercy is receiving a gift from God as love, when in fact we would agree that that is not at all what we deserve. Well, the second reason we look for the motive of mercy is because I will need mercy in the future, which we've already touched upon. The man who makes no allowances for others will find none made for him. And offering mercy in situations that come our way on a daily basis, we are in fact reflecting the character and the very nature of God. Be merciful. And lastly, you know the story, when I say lastly, the Protestant boy and the Catholic boy were talking with each other about certain symbols in their church. And the Protestant boy asked the Catholic boy, what does it mean in your church when you do thus and such and thus and such? And the little Protestant boy explained it. And then the little Catholic boy said, well, I've been to your church. What does it mean when your minister is preaching says, lastly? And the little boy said, it means absolutely nothing. Lastly. And if we mishear this statement, it may create for us a little heartburn. So please don't mishear this last statement. One of the reasons, look at the verse first. Proverbs says, your own soul is nourished when you're kind. It is destroyed when you're cruel. So my answer to this would be, see, because I receive the blessing of happiness. Living a virtuous life and living a merciful life benefits us. It benefits me probably more than the one who receives the mercy. I am the recipient of joy and happiness as I offer mercy to others. That's what these Beatitudes are teaching us, is that if you want to have a blessed / happy life, the happiness and the blessedness are a fruit of living a certain way. Now, how counter is it this, that, in fact, if you and I are seeking to live happiness, if we are pursuing happiness for happiness' sake, it will never occur. You will never find happiness by looking for happiness. Happiness, as in mercy and these other qualities, comes as a fruit of a certain lifestyle. The end.